Good evening, everyone. I'm Lenore Moudou, and welcome to Health Chat. HIV experts from five continents across the world are in Cape Town right this week to probe the dynamics of a changing HIV/AIDS epidemic and to address issues related to prevention, treatment, and care. On the program today, we will discuss HIV/AIDS and look at the 13th AIDS Impact Conference, which wraps up tomorrow in Cape Town, South Africa. The conference is hosted by Stellenbosch University and the Human Sciences Research Council, HSRC. Our guest today, Professor Mark Tomlinson, will be joining us from South Africa, Cape Town, and he's from the Psychology Department at the University of Stellenbosch in Cape Town. And also we will be joined by Professor Heidi Van Rooyen from the Human Sciences Research Council and co-chair of the conference. But before we speak to our guests, here is an overview of HIV/AIDS and what is being done in Kenya.
Speaking at a news conference in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, Dr. Peter Kimu, the head of the health policy and planning at the Ministry of Health, said this new first-line drug, known as dolutegravir or DTG, has few side effects and patients living with HIV are less likely to develop resistance.
DTG offers better tolerability, fewer adverse drug reactions, fewer drug-to-drug interactions, and higher genetic barrier to resistance.
One of the key partners in the initiative is UNITAID, a global health initiative working to end tuberculosis, malaria, and HIV/AIDS epidemic. UNITAID donated approximately 148,000 bottles of DTG to Kenya's health ministry, which will cover about 1% of the patients living with HIV in the country. Robert Matiru, the director of operations at UNITAID, told VOA the economic and health benefits of the new line of treatment will go a long way in ensuring key populations get much-needed treatment.
When you bring a better product that is cheaper to make, and that is of higher efficacy, meaning better treatment outcomes, of course you're going to realize savings. And savings are so critical in this day and age because, as we know, funding is constrained and in some cases declining.
According to Kenya's health ministry, about 1.5 million people are living with HIV. The introduction of the new generic first-line drug will be an added arsenal in the fight against the scourge. Speaking to VOA at the launch of the new drug, Dr. Martin Sirengo, the head of the National AIDS and STI Control Program, or NASCOP, was upbeat about the new line of treatment. However, he says challenges still exist.
We have a challenge in the sense that DTG is not available commercially to the scale that we can start everyone on it. It's a new drug, so the manufacturing is yet to catch up. That's why we are starting small. Number two, we have moved the treatment from where we used to combine different pills to make a regimen into what we call a fixed-dose combination pill, which is basically a tablet containing three drugs. DTG is a single drug, so we have to formulate the regimen with other two drugs.
Doti Ogutu, the executive director at African Sex Workers Alliance, an organization that addresses human and health rights violations against sex workers, has been living with HIV for the last 15 years. Ogutu has been on dolutegravir for 3 months. She says the difference between this new line of treatment compared to the old one is the diminished side effects that go along with taking the medication.
The side effects are significantly less. I haven't experienced any side effects using it, so I think that's just my experience. But, you know, with treatment, it differs from patient to patient. But what I can attest to is that the side effects of this one, if I compare with the side effects I had with the efavirenz, whereby I had a loss of weight, loss of appetite, I became severely anemic, and that became basically my condition. I haven't been able to experience that with this new drug. So I think it's a plus that we are now changing to medication that's being used in developed countries.
However, Ogutu, whose organization African Sex Workers Alliance has membership in 30 African countries, argues that more focus should be shifted to adherence.
There's a challenge, and even for those who are living with HIV, adherence, sticking to the drugs and finishing your drugs. There's a lot more that still needs to be done around providing psychosocial support. for people who are living with HIV. And I think we are losing it in all this conversation around prevention. And I think it should be a slogan in this year's World AIDS Day. People living with HIV, lives matter.
According to the World Health Organization, more than 18 million people globally were receiving antiretroviral treatment. Dolutegravir is set to be introduced in two other early adopter countries, Nigeria and Uganda. Lenny Rovaga for VOA News, Nairobi.
And that was Lenny Rovaga. Thank you so much. It's now time for the news, and we will listen to Imutinian Igwabie with the news.
According to new studies published in the New England Journal of Medicine, breast cancer can resurface after remaining dormant for 15 years following successful treatment. Researchers from the United Kingdom analyzed the progress of 63,000 women for 20 years. They say women with large tumor and cancer had spread to the lymph node have 40% chance of the disease returning. Scientists say extending treatment with hormone therapy could reduce the risk of reoccurrence. A new study suggests wounds heal quickly if they occur during the day rather than after that. The team of researchers at the UK MRC Laboratory of Molecular Biology researchers found that burns sustained at night took an average of 28 days to heal, but just 17 for those that happened in the daytime. The effect was explained by the way body clock ticks inside nearly every human cell across a 24-hour cycle. The research published in Science Translational Medicine examined 118 patients. It showed the average of 11 days difference in healing times between people hurt at night and during the day. Billionaire Bill Gates has made a $100 million investment to help researchers find a cure for Alzheimer's. The brain disease causes people to slowly lose their memory and mental ability as they grow old. Gates, the co-founder of Microsoft, said Monday he has given $50 million to London-based Dementia Recovery Fund. Also, he gave $50 million, will also go to the startup groups working in Alzheimer's research. Dementia, of one of which Alzheimer's is the most common form, affects close to 50 million people worldwide. And that's the news for today.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Did you know that more than 1.6 million people acquired HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, in recent years? More than half of those infected were under 24 and most of them were young girls. You can protect yourself from HIV. If you're a man, use a condom every time you have sex. If you're a woman, insist that your partner use a condom. And whether you're a man or a woman, talk to your health provider about an HIV test.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
How much do you know about HIV, the virus that causes AIDS? Do you know that you cannot get HIV from toilet seat or a drinking glass? HIV is transmitted through blood and bodily fluids, primarily through sexual contact. One way to protect yourself if you are sexually active is to be sure to use a condom. Condoms can reduce the risk of getting or transmitting HIV by up to 98%.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us today, we are looking at HIV/AIDS, and we will be joined by our guest, Professor Mark Tomlinson with the University of Stellenbosch. But before that, here is another story, another report, and we're listening to some South African AIDS stories.
Hundreds of people chatter inside the Market Theatre in Johannesburg. They're silent when a slender, long-haired woman in a peach dress appears on stage. Mary Valai, from Kenya, is here to share a story in public for the first time. In 2002, after a long illness, she had blood tests. Afterwards, she met a doctor who initially laid her fears to rest.
Mary, you don't have hepatitis. You don't have cancer. But you are HIV positive. I am dumbfounded. If somebody had plunged a dagger into my heart, I would not have felt pain as excruciating as the pain that I was feeling right at this moment.
Valai considers HIV infection to be a death sentence.
My doctor, I screamed at him silently, "You have metamorphosed into my judge, my jury, and my executioner." A curtain of rage comes over my eyes. I want to strangle him.
In the early 2000s, AIDS killed millions of Africans. Few had access to life-prolonging antiretroviral or ARV medicines. As still happens today, HIV-positive people are shunned, even by family and friends. Valai fears the same fate.
The next 7 months are the longest months that I have ever lived through. The days are long. They are grey. I feel hopeless and useless. I even attempt suicide, and I become a former shadow of myself.
Valai feels that before she dies, she must tell her parents she's infected. She expects them to reject her, but she's shocked by their reaction.
We will love you, and we will encourage you with all that we have.
Valai knows it's the ARVs she now takes that fight potentially fatal opportunistic sicknesses and keep her alive. But she tells the crowd it's her parents' words and support that ultimately saved her life.
Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it amazing how the power of love can lift you from one level to another? Thank you.
Letiana Moswane begins his address by telling about the first time he sees someone with HIV on television as a child in Lesotho.
I saw a dark, tall, skinned man in a dirty hospital, and he was grinding his teeth. I said to myself, HIV-positive people are not people, and they need to be kept away from the society.
Years later, he becomes an HIV peer educator, trying to prevent the spread of the virus in a country with the second highest HIV prevalence in the world. Yet, his discrimination against infected people continues.
I could not share food with a HIV-positive person. I told myself that I cannot kiss a HIV-positive person.
Then, a few years ago, his best friend calls him to say, "I'm HIV-positive."
As if I was watching a horror movie, my mind took me back to the days when I was partying with him day and night. To the days when we would sleep on the same bed and share alcohol and share sex partners. And I said to myself, there's no doubt I'm also HIV positive.
The next day, the two friends meet.
He grabbed my hand and greeted me. I was shocked, but I could feel the same touch. He was still my friend. I couldn't feel the HIV virus. I could feel that he's still a human being, just like me.
Moswane's friend inspired him to finally get tested for HIV. His result was negative. He was overjoyed, but says all he thinks of is the infected people he's mistreated when he was supposed to have been protecting them. Moswane became involved in projects in Lesotho to prevent discrimination against HIV-positive individuals.
It's not HIV/AIDS that kills. It's stress and stigma. Stigma is in our hearts, and it's for us to make it live or to kill it. Thank you.
AVAC director Mitchell Warren says groups trying to prevent HIV often underestimate the power of personal stories as tools against the virus.
I think the great successes in the AIDS response in Africa and around the world have been when we took a step back and shut up as experts and listened.
He says everyone's playing a role in the spread of HIV, for better or for worse, even if they don't realize it. And the more people get talking about that, the stronger the world's response will be to the virus and the nearer it will be to the defeat of AIDS. Darren Taylor for VOA News, Johannesburg.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Did you know that more than 1.6 million people acquired HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, in recent years? More than half of those infected were under 24, and most of them were young girls. You can protect yourself from HIV. If you're a man, use a condom every time you have sex. If you're a woman, insist that your partner use a condom. And whether you're a man or a woman, talk to your health provider about an HIV test.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
More than 600,000 people died from malaria last year. Most of those were children. But you can help protect your family with some simple steps. Mosquitoes transmit malaria. Therefore, try to avoid being bitten. Empty all containers of standing water. Water jugs, bottles, cans, and containers that livestock drink from can be breeding grounds for thousands of mosquitoes. Clean your roof of any rubbish where water can collect. Empty any ditches or holes of standing water. Avoid going out when mosquitoes feed, at dusk, overnight, and early in the morning. Sleep under insecticide-treated bed nets.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
And welcome back. If you're just joining us today, we are looking at HIV/AIDS, but we're just going to talk about that and also other topics of interest to our audience. And we were supposed to be joined by Professor Mark Tomlinson from South Africa and also Heidi Ryan, but for some technical difficulties, we could not have them, but we'll have them another time. And until we do that, I'm here with VOA reporter Heidi Fitzpatrick, Heidi Adam Fitzpatrick, and also Imitunyan Igbiabe. I always butcher your name. I'm so sorry. Listen, ladies, HIV is such a big topic when it comes to health these days. You know, we talk about it so many times. We can never talk about it enough, because as much as we know this problem is there, the sickness is there, the numbers do not go down as much as one would hope. So, Heidi, let me go to you first, because you are a native from South Africa, yes, from Cape Town, actually, where the conference is ongoing. Give us a sense of how the virus is being handled. I know there have been big controversies in the past with regards to HIV/AIDS and what has been done on the political front. But just give us a sense of today, what is happening.
You know, Lenore, a lot of people refer to the Thabo Mbeki presidency, where there was great denial in South Africa around the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of denial, and people call that really the dark era of South Africa's relationship with this disease. Today, of course, we have a whole different story. We've had a new president. And, you know, even health experts are saying for the first time they really feel like they have a health minister now who is on their side. Mm-hmm. They feel that government policy has changed significantly, and that they are actually seeing the effects of that in terms of life expectancy, which they say has now gone up significantly in South Africa, because mm-hmm. people are living longer. People now have access to antiretrovirals, which means they're not dying. And this was the deadly policies of the previous administration that people feel now. Really, people know that getting HIV is no longer a death sentence.
Yeah.
But the problem in South Africa still remains the very, very, very high rates of TB.
Yes.
And so many people have TB, and that is what weakens their immune system. It is a very opportunistic health condition, and that remains a problem that they need to get a handle on. I'm always very encouraged when I see conferences like this happening. South Africa, I think, by and large, is really going out of its way to make sure that they remain at the forefront of research, that they remain at the forefront of fighting this epidemic, because the country has in effect become ground zero for HIV and AIDS. But I think there is a sense of relief that no longer do scientists and nonprofits, they don't have to be activists fighting the government. It's exhausting. Yes. They can actually focus on the things that they need to be focusing, and that is educating people, creating awareness, providing access to medication for people. And for the first time in a long time, there's really a sense of optimism in the country, I think, amongst health experts.
That's great. And we see that when we talk to different people, whether they are in the health medical field or they're coming from the patient's perspective, we see a sense of optimism. Now, let me come to you, Imuchin, and you are a young woman, very young at that, and from Nigeria originally. And one of the things that we hear a lot is the fact that HIV/AIDS among the youth, it's a very critical issue. Now, from the youth perspective, what can you tell us in terms of the discussion around this issue? Is it being talked a lot about? Do you think there's enough awareness?
I don't think there's enough awareness in terms of, well, my circle of friends, no one really talks about sex. And I think that within the African culture, sex is not something of a discussion. And I feel like parents should do more, converse more with your children about sex. And it's not something to be shy away from, because you contact HIV, one of the ways is through sexual contact, it's through sex. So
yeah,
exactly. So if there's no conversation in the house about sex, and if I get HIV, I wouldn't be able to go to my mom because we never had the chance to talk about it.
That's true. I think
home should be the a comfortable place where children or youth or young adults can come to their parents and discuss issues such as HIV or anything else. And I think that should be what the conversation should be like in Africa per se, because there's a lot of stigma surrounding HIV and of course other diseases as well. You know, so I think a lot of conversation should begin at home, so that gives the child or to a way to come back home and say, "Mommy, this is what I have," or "Daddy, this is what I'm going through."
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So having a conversation is very important. But when we look at some of the realities on the continent, culture is such an important aspect of it. And I mean, you touch a little bit on it as you talked about the fact that people are not comfortable about talking about sex. It's cultural, you know. In some settings, you don't talk about sex. You know, mothers don't talk to their daughters, fathers to their sons.
What's interesting is they don't talk about it, but then when you're about to get married, like, you know, these are things that needs to be talked about. Yeah, you start to have those conversations when a child is not I wouldn't say 2 years old, but when they start to understand their surrounding, you know, introduce them to that world little by little. So it's not all of a sudden you just start, you throw them in there and we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because they talked about, you know.
Often a cultural problem ultimately becomes a political problem.
Exactly.
If there is no culture in the country amongst our communities of talking about issues like sex, because that it's true what you said, that is where it starts. That is how it happens most of the time. How do we even begin to address this issue of the disease? And so when our politicians do not want to talk about it, and when they want to sweep it under the rug, we need to be able to say, hey, we need to talk about this in our families, in our communities, and we should then lead the way. And then maybe if we stop looking to government to, I don't want to say solve all our problems, because I don't want to say government has no responsibility, because they do. They set policy, and policy makes a huge difference. If there's political will to do something in Africa, it will happen. But in the absence of political will, I think people should take this upon themselves, and we should, in our schools, we should demand from our community leaders, we should demand from our churches, we should demand, because here's the thing, if we don't talk about it, it doesn't mean it's going to go away. In fact, it's going to become worse. We always talk about when old people, you know, the older generations, they have a lot of secrets, and these things eventually come out and we learn, well, you know, they were not as innocent as we think. But the kids are doing this anyway, and we need to make sure that they're safe when they do it. At the very least, because people need to realize that their lives are at stake.
Yeah, yes. And one thing is for sure, denial is not a prevention strategy.
Correct.
Exactly. So definitely we need to talk about it. Okay, ladies, well, thank you. It was so much fun to have you.
Yeah, are you going to have us back
for
then?
This quick chat.
Are you going to have us back then?
Yeah. Thank you, Lenore.
Oh, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Of course. And Heidi, thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to all of you, our listeners, for joining us today on this edition of Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou, in Washington, and with producer Kwame Foure. For more, until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.